Good morning, everyone. We are going to be back in Acts chapter 4 this morning. And it's good to have Mr. and Mrs. Tapp with us this morning. David's probably looking around, is my father here? But you have to get used to that now. But glad to see them back today. Why don't we go ahead and start by reading our text, and we'll start in verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the blessing of being in your house today. Lord, as we look at your word, I pray that you would help us to understand. And Lord, help us to grow from your word as we look at it and look at the wonderful example of your disciples in the early church. Please bless our time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week, as you recall, we started looking at this passage, and we really only got through the first verse last week, where we saw, remember it started out where Peter and John had gone to the temple, and there was a man there that had been lame since his birth, and everyone knew that. He had been there in the temple over and over again, and when they came by, he was asking for alms, asking for money or food or whatever could help him. And remember, Peter looked down at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none." And then he told him to rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And we saw when he did that, you know, everybody was amazed. They came, and it gave Peter and John the opportunity to preach the gospel there at the temple. And we saw that the religious leaders there came and saw this happening, and they didn't like what was happening. So they ended up locking them up and keeping them overnight. And the next day they brought them before the Sanhedrin to find out what was going on. In reality, they were wanting to find out who these disciples were. They knew who Jesus was. They had seen all the things that he had done, heard the stories about Jesus, but they really didn't know his disciples. This was not too long after the day of Pentecost. I'm sure they had heard about them because nothing that big can happen in a city, and the religious leaders wouldn't have known about it. But remember, they questioned them, and the conclusion they came to was that, you know, remember they said, these men are unlearned, but, you know, how do they have all this knowledge? And the conclusion they came to was that they had been with Jesus. And that was showing in their lives that they had been with Jesus. And it came out in their actions. And they could see the impact that that was having on the people around them. And we're going to pick up today to see how the Sanhedrin there, the leaders, responded to this. Because you're going to find that if you're living for Jesus, if it's showing in your actions, the world's not going to give you a trophy for that. You know, hopefully when you come to church, you get encouraged in that with Christian brothers and sisters. But when you're out in the world, you know, they're not going to like it because it's interfering with their own ideas and the way that they want to live. So we're not going to be popular in this world if our life is showing that we've been with Jesus. And Peter and John are realizing this as they're there standing before this group. And, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise to them because Jesus had told them earlier that this is what they should expect. In John 16:33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus had told his disciples, you know, this is what you need to expect. If you're going to, we need to remember, when we're with Jesus, we have peace. But we're in this world, you know, we're going to have tribulation, is the way he describes it. And when you think about it, you know, you think, oh, that's terrible. But remember where we are in picture of eternity. When we're here now, you know, it seems hard sometimes. But and when he says here, when we're in the world, there's going to be tribulation. But when we're with Jesus, there's peace. And think about, you know, he describes our life here on earth like a vapor. But we're going to be in eternity with Jesus. So that means just a little bit of tribulation, but an eternity of peace. And that's really an encouragement, even though it's letting them know what to expect. It's really an encouragement to what they have to look forward to there. So, you know, he's telling that, and let's picture where these two disciples are right now. They're there. They're being accused of stirring up the people. They were held overnight. And what did they do? They went to the temple, and they healed a man. Do you think that was illegal? Is that something that you should be thrown in jail for? So here, they were doing what was right. They were doing what God had given them the power to do, but they were already being persecuted by the Jewish leaders there. And the reason that these Jewish leaders were having such a hard time with this is because they were seeing the influence that they were having on all the people. And that was affecting them, and they didn't like that. One thing I think I failed to mention last week is when, after God used Peter to heal this man, and when he preached to the people, the Bible tells us that 5,000 men believed. That's a lot. And that was in the temple when they were doing this. So think, you know, those are the people that these religious leaders would have been having influence over. And 5,000 people, it says 5,000 men specifically, believed Peter and John's preaching. That means that was going against what they were teaching. So these religious leaders didn't like that because that was challenging their authority and what they had been teaching. They saw the influence they had on the people there because of the time they had spent with Jesus, and now they were living and doing just what Jesus was doing. So, and if we do that, you know, it's not going to stay inside us. If we're living like Jesus wants us to live, it's going to come out, and it's going to affect other people. It's going to have an impact, and that's what was happening in their lives. And not everybody is going to like that. You know, sometimes when we share the gospel, it's going to bother people. And an example, there was a man that wrote an autobiography. His name was Richard Wurmbrand. He wrote an autobiography entitled Tortured for Christ. And in this, he recounts a story where he spent years in a communist prison in Romania. He was a preacher in Romania and was arrested and thrown in prison because he was preaching. And this was a quote from his book there. It's called Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. It says, "It was strictly forbidden to preach to other prisoners. It was understood that whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching. So we accepted their terms. It was a deal. We preached and they beat us. We were happy preaching, they were happy beating us, so everyone was happy." Could you imagine having that mindset, that you are so committed to preaching the Word of God that You were just going to go on and on, despite what all that beating and things that he was taking. Now, when we look at Peter and John and the things they went through in the early church, you know, we look back, that was 2,000 years ago. This with Richard Wurmbrand, this happened in the 1950s and 1960s. That wasn't that long ago. Some of you grew up in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, it's kind of helps us understand it's not that far away. And, you know, so the Jews did, or just what did the Jewish leaders fear that was going to come of the disciples' influence? What were they afraid of? I think one thing they feared was the power of Jesus. They thought, you know, that they had taken care of Jesus, but when Peter and John were preaching, when they healed this man, they weren't doing it in their own strength. They were doing it in the Holy Spirit, in the power given by Jesus. And remember, they had healed that man in Acts 3:6. It says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" And this man had gotten up and walked, and no one could question this. I mean, this is a man that had been coming to the temple for his whole life, basically. And now he was walking. Remember last week, we looked, he wasn't just walking, he was leaping. He was really healed, and no one could deny that. And, you know, think about these religious leaders that have been telling them, you know, don't follow Jesus. This has been telling their people that that's heresy to follow what Jesus was preaching. But they couldn't deny this miracle that was done in the name of Jesus. So, and you see, Peter and John, they were able to do this because they were becoming more like Jesus, and it was showing in their actions. Charles Spurgeon once said, "A man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. If his life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers accept his practice and reject his preaching." So what Spurgeon is saying here is saying, our life and our actions is always going to be more forcible, to be more, have more impact than our words do. He describes it, our actions are like dollars, but our words are like pennies, in that comparison. And he also says that, you know, if it comes down to it, if our words don't agree with our lifestyle, what are people going to believe? They're going to believe how we live, not what we say. And we see here in Peter and John that people are seeing their life matches their words. And because of that, they had Jesus, power of Jesus there. And, you know, they feared this. These religious leaders feared that. Also, you know, there's nothing they could say against this miracle. The work that God's done in lives of people throughout the gospel is unmistakable. You know, we're not going to go out, I mean, we're not going down to the hospital today and healing people. But, you know, the religious leaders there saw what changed in this man. But what people really see in the actions is when God changes a person's life when they get saved. They see that change there. And, you know, people can argue about different points in the Bible, but when you have evidence of someone's life changing, you can't argue against that. And you think, a good example, Brother Apple gave his testimony here just a couple weeks ago. And he saw the life that he came out of and how God completely changed his life. Brother Paul Crow, you can hear the testimony of his father. The same thing. He was a drug dealer as well and ended up getting saved out of that. The world can't explain that. There's nothing that they can say against that. When a life changes like that, that it can only come from God. And, you know, the Sanhedrin thought they had taken care of things when they killed Jesus, but they weren't expecting the resurrection there. We see there, when they arrested Peter and John, it says, and as they, in Acts 4, verses 1 and 2, And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they couldn't argue that this man was healed, and they couldn't argue that they did it in the name of Jesus. And they were fearing this influence that Peter and John and the other disciples were having on the people there, because it was going against what they were teaching. And you know, the world, when you tell them they're wrong, they don't like it. And no one, you know, the world doesn't like to change. You know, if they have something that's given them power, given them money, given them position, they don't want to lose that. And you know, that's really where these religious leaders were. It was challenging their authority there. So they were fearing you know, the godly influence that they were having on them. So when they had that fear, what's the next step? So now they're going to start making threats against Peter and John there. So, you know, the world doesn't like our message of hope and salvation of Jesus, but they can't stop us from sharing it. And that's what these men wanted to do with Peter and John, is to stop them from sharing it. So how, you know, what were they going to do with that? Or how were they going to do that? The first thing that we see there in verses 15 and 16, that they got together and they first of all started speaking privately there. You know, just a reminder, if in Ephesians 6:12, we just read a verse there that we're familiar with, but just to remind us what we're dealing with. And Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So that's a reminder there that, you know, Peter and John, we're dealing with men here. But we need to remember that we're also fighting against Satan, who's directing these things behind the scenes, in secret. We don't know his secrets and all, and what God does, but we don't know there. And we see there in verses 15 and 16, it says, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" So here, look at the question that they're asking here. What shall we do to these men? They're trying to just figure out, what can we do to stop these men from preaching about Jesus? Because, you know, they could not deny what had been done. They could not deny, I keep saying this, but that this man was healed. And all Jerusalem saw that. And, you know, it's a reminder, though, the world doesn't always want to hear the truth. They want to make sure what they say is heard. And, you know, governments and leaders, they're often going to try to silence people that preach the truth or teach the truth when it interferes with what they want to do. And, you know, people, this isn't something new. It wasn't something new then. It's not, you know, something new now. In Psalms 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" So we see, you know, even in old times, kings would do things. It says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing." Kings would plan against, specifically against God's people. And, you know, governments aren't always looking to please the Lord. That's not what they're there to do. And you think, we talked about Richard Wurmbrand just a little bit earlier. The reason he was in prison, this was in the 1950s, the 60s, Romania. You know, Romania today is a republic, but back then it was part of the Soviet bloc. It was a communist, and they even, you know, stated that they were an atheist government. And when you think of communism, you know, we keep hearing it a lot more today. There's, you know, it used to be everybody hated communism in this country. Now there's a large group that are starting to think that's the direction we should go in as a country. And but back then, you know, the government specifically was called atheist because for communism to work, people have to rely on the government. They have to depend on the government. The government basically has to be your God. And that's one thing to remember as we hear people talk about communism is there's no room in a communist society, there's no room for freedom of religion there because the government needs you to depend on them because that's the way communism works. And that's why they were those that preached the gospel back in those days in Romania and in the Soviet Union in those communist countries was to stop them because they didn't want people relying or having any authority above the government. So, and when you preach the gospel and your reliance on Jesus, that goes against their teachings. And Richard Wurmbrand even was noted for saying that communism and Christianity cannot coexist together, as in a at least freedom of Christianity. So they cannot work together. So we see there this is not a new thing. Kings have always been trying to pull people away from the Lord. So and also there's social pressures. Last week the UN had a, I don't know if you heard about this, but Benjamin Netanyahu went to speak at the UN, and there was a number of leaders when he went up, just got up and walked out, and they were not willing to hear what he had to say. But I saw a map this week that showed of the countries of the leaders that got up and walked out. Most of them were the Middle Eastern countries and African countries, which are mostly Muslim countries. And you know, you think, I even heard this week some African leaders talking about how awful it was what the Israelis were doing to the Palestinians. But then you look in these African countries, what's going on? I mentioned a couple weeks ago about Nigeria. Thousands of Christians are being killed every year there because the Muslims are coming in and they're taking over. That's how Islam spread initially, was they would go in, mostly in Africa, and just kill people. If you didn't become a Muslim, you were killed. And you know, just the hypocrisy you see of these African leaders speaking bad about Israel, you know, just tells you that people don't always want the truth. They want their truth. They want what they believe to be in the forefront. And they're not seeking the truth there. So those who are spreading lies, they don't like people who are messengers of the truth. And when we're sharing God's word, that's the truth. And if it goes against what people are saying, they don't like it. And that's why these men were threatening Peter and John here. So they met there privately. They made this plan. You know, what are we going to do? They knew. The thing is, they knew what Peter and John had done there was they couldn't explain it. They had no answer for it because the man had been healed, but they still didn't care about the truth. They cared about shutting up Peter and John. That was their goal. So we see in verse 17 and 18 what they came up with as they came out of that meeting. It says, but that it spread no further among the peoples, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So it's almost funny when you think about, you know, they got together and, you know, we've got to stop these people. These people are horrible. And all they could come up with, because they had the truth on their side, was we're going to tell them to stop. So, you know, let's, you know, how do you think that's going to turn out? So they threatened them, basically told them, you know, commanded them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And, you know, when we do that, you know, when we do preach, when they have no answer, and then the next thing that comes is threats. And that's what the Sanhedrin there did, you know. So Satan always resorts to force when other methods fail. So the concern of the Sanhedrin was not getting the truth out. The concern for them, they wanted the truth to stop being spread. And that's where they were. And remember what we read earlier. Jesus said, he told them that this is what was going to happen. So, Peter and John, they were living for Jesus. They were doing exactly what Jesus wanted them to do. They were allowing God's Holy Spirit to work in their lives. You know, it told us there in when they came to the and spoke to the Sanhedrin there, that they were speaking in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was guiding them as they spoke. And they were doing everything they were supposed to do, but they were being attacked, and they were trying to be stopped in what they were doing. And, we've got to realize that we're going to face attacks too. If we're living the way Jesus wants us to live, if our actions are living like he wants us to be, then, you know, people aren't going to like it. We're going to face opposition. Now, it might not be that you're going to get thrown in jail here in the United States of America, but it might be that people start saying bad things about you, or they're not very smart, or they don't know what they're talking about, or laugh, make jokes about you. Those are some of the things we face here. Maybe it's, again, things that you might face in your job, asked to do things that you know are wrong. Are you going to say no? We're comfortable here in the United States. We don't, we don't see this as a big threat to our lives because, unless we're unless we're really active for Jesus, if we're living our lives where people are seeing Jesus in us, then we're going to face those threats. But if we're just going through the flow, then and not being active, if we're just doing the bare minimum, going to church on Sunday morning, maybe even reading your devotions in the morning, but if you're not sharing the gospel, if you're not making those hard decisions in life, then you're not going to face those challenges because Satan wants you to be comfortable where you are. And we need to watch for that, and we need to guard that. And I think we're going to go ahead and stop right there this morning, but next week we're going to take a look and see, Peter and John were threatened. This whole time they remained faithful. And next week we're going to look at how they responded to what these leaders had told them that they were going to have to do. So, and we're going to see more of their courage. And just a reminder, what a good example they are to us, even this many years later. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for the examples in your word of people that have gone before us, Lord, that they've stood tall, Lord, when they've been challenged by the world, by those that would go against Jesus, Lord, they stood strong and did not waver. And Lord, we see that you took care of them through all of that. And I pray that we would, Lord, allow that to resonate in our lives, Lord, when we're challenged, Lord, that we would stay faithful to you, that we would be courageous and speak up for you. Lord, again, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.